Welcome to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
Climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Oh. And what many are calling, and I don't know who they are, historic and game-changing. Assembly Bill 1448 was signed by Governor Brown on Thursday. Now, amid Middle Eastern wars, Russia and United States tensions near historic highs, at least Bill 1448 was signed into law on Thursday. United States congressional leadership is a job seemingly no one wants. But Congress can rest easy knowing that California Assembly Bill 1448 is now law. Left wing, right wing, Tea Party, socialist, America has it all. And California has Assembly Bill 1448. The federal government could be shut down in a month, but at least California has Assembly Bill 1448. Modest energy conservation and freedom of choice measure is now law in California. Stealing a Woodstock era slogan, power to the people who hang their clothes out to dry. Is it any wonder the world no longer respects the United States? Assembly Bill 1448 allows homeowner association members to string clotheslines in private areas. Wow. It is Friday. It is our favorite day of the week. It's the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, and that bill made it to law. Schoolhouse Rock when I was a kid. Joining me as always, to my right, try to stay up in your chair, my good friend Andrew Wellborn. How you doing today, buddy?
I want a definition of private areas.
Yes.
where are they going?
That's
spring?
What the law says, pal.
Private areas, are you kidding?
I'm not kidding you, man. Only in California, buddy.
Oh, man, is that a word gap or what?
Oh, my goodness.
You know what? But on top of that, it's good to see. It's good to see the California Governor Jerry Brown has actually signed that. We know that, wait a minute, he's got like, 4 days left with 310 bills left that are before his desk at this point in time. But it's good to see that, you know, that was one that actually made the cut.
Oh, homeowners can rest easy in those homeowners association, please.
Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, where America's voices are heard on iTunes.
Andrew, you know, if they wanted that to become, you know, in their home, in those nice condo associations, they would have had that in their bylaws. People know what they're getting into when they move down there.
Oh,
but
gosh.
I can't believe our paid and our elected officials making $100,000 a year, they went to bat for that and said, you know what? We are in an energy crisis. We want to reduce oil production, oil usage, everything, the dryers. Let them hang their clothes out there in those beautiful gated communities everywhere in Hollywood, Beverly, wherever they are. Thank goodness that Governor Brown signed that into law on Thursday.
Well, homeowners associations have got a long stretch of Supreme Court and federal court and state court backed Oh, basically, they get to do whatever they want to do. I mean, bottom line is that you, like you just said, when you enter into a homeowners association, you're signing that bottom line.
Yeah.
You're signing that dotted line. So it's going to be kind of silly that a piece of legislation like this is actually probably going to have to go before the courts of California on behalf of the associations of homeowners. I mean, what a ridiculous, ridiculous piece of legislation. I mean, good Lord, folks. I mean, like you said, we got Syria blowing up.
We've yeah.
got the federal government on the verge of not having any revenue to pay for its bills. We have the Republican caucus just in disarray. We've got a presidential candidate right now that could be facing felony charges, for goodness sakes. But, you know, like you said,
we can hang our clothes out to dry now.
In private parts.
In private parts. Howard Stern's got to make a movie about that, I think, somewhere.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? But I got to tell you, you know, something that Governor Jerry Brown did do, and we got to praise him. And, you know,
absolutely.
We need to move on into this type of area, I think. And I think this is going to be a focus I'm going to try making as the year goes along. Look, I mean, you know, when President Barack Obama does something good, we need to say, hey, he did something good.
And we have.
When President George W. Bush did something good, we need to say, hey, that was good. Bill Clinton, George H. Bush, Ronald Reagan, Nixon, Ford, Carter, you get it, okay? But, you know, the bottom line is that Jerry Brown has actually done something pretty good. I'm very happy to hear that he has come out in opposition of the modification of Proposition 13, this attempt to basically restructure how commercial properties in California are taxed.
And he was, back when he was the governor the first time, I believe, in the 70s, Andrew, he was really fighting against that. And once it passed and became law, he was with it. And I saw that as well. And you got to really give the governor, because you know that they've been really trying to get that so they can get their hands on some more money and just keep on bleeding that turnip dry here in California. But at least the governor said, you know what, no, I'm against that totally. I don't want that. We don't need to do that. And he does get kudos for that.
Well, you know, something else is happening in California. We'll get into this on the bottom part of the show. It's some polling coming out for this U.S. Senate race. And I don't think that most Californians are aware of something that is developing. And up here in northeastern California, where we broadcast out of, you know, we need to be aware of some possibilities that are beginning to brew, as we say, happening in this U.S. Senate race out here in California to replace California U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer, and we'll get more into that at the very bottom. And of course, you know, we brought it up last week about the pension support.
Sure.
You know, the support to reform the pensions. We'll do a little bit of union talk also to all of our fellow state and government employees up and down California, something that we just need to focus on. You know, so there is a lot that is happening in California along with the federal level, and I just can't wait to really, really get into it in the next segment of our show, Tim.
You know, I didn't go in depth to see how that law had passed. We make light of that, and that's okay. Every once in a while we have to make light of things. But, you know, we've been talking about for 4 years here, and we've had guests on, Andrew, that have talked about we have way too many bills on our agenda. Do you think that the great state of Texas, where you're from, where they only meet every a couple of years, are there garbage bills like this? I'm sure that there are, Andrew, but ridiculous ones like this, or they take it a little more seriously? And I don't mean to be flippant about it. I'm sure that's important to somebody that they can hang their clothes out at their gated community somewhere, but it seems like California does far too many things like this. The governor has a few days left for 300 or 400 bills to sign. This was one of them. Are you kidding me?
Obviously, every state has got the same issues in the state of Texas. They do. I mean, you know, come on. Not only do we have silly pieces of legislation and stupid pieces of legislation going for any legislature in any state in this nation, but in the state of Texas, the ultimate goof was with Governor Rick Perry vetoing a piece of funding from because a county prosecutor did not want to resign. I mean, so as a result, he's under indictment. So stupidity is stupidity. Different levels of stupidity are different levels of stupidity. But as Donald Trump points out all the time, we've got very, very, very stupid people in charge of us. But, you know, whose fault is that really? And I'm really going to make this point as the year goes along. Yes, it's we the people. And so, yes, I'm going to start getting into a little bit of what is going to appear as lecturing the American people and the people out here in California. California. But you know what? We need a little bit of lecturing when it comes to the reality of what we believe, what we think, and how we act or don't act, in particular, during election cycles.
And that is coming up only a few months away. That's Andrew's favorite time of the year. My friend, what do you got for us?
Well, I got to tell you, that's what it's going to be, folks. I mean, this is the time to vote, and this is the time to pay attention. These are very, very important times for us to really focus on. Okay, California, rest of the nation, time for something you may not know. Some fun stuff. Actually, 1760, the Seven Years' War between Russia and Austria forces that occupied Berlin. That's kind of important, because once again, Russia is actually repeating a little bit of its known history. And of course, 1888, the Washington Monument opens for public admittance. 1915, Woodrow Wilson becomes the first U.S. president to attend a World Series. And of course, 1930 was the first transcontinental flight by a woman completed. You know who it was? Laura Ingalls.
I did not know that. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday right after the news, about 12:15 here on 1240 KSUE. You can catch a rebroadcast Saturday and Sunday mornings, about half hour of the show, crdailynews.com. And like Andrew said, we are on our podcast is on iTunes. The 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Back with the half hour show.
And now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains, it's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you very much, Dan, and welcome back, everybody. It is Friday, our favorite day of the week, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
It's always about history. History, history, history is the number one thing that most of our listeners know that we try to bring up and we talk about on this show, the most important thing that we should know. Sometimes we don't know. And sometimes, I question whether or not is there an excuse for us not to know across this nation, up and down California. And speaking of history, go learn your rights with Liberty's Lady, Chris Ann Hall, a constitutional attorney and historian who's going to speak on the roots of liberty. She's going to be here in Susanville, California on Tuesday, November 10th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Veterans Hall on Main Street. So if you're not doing anything, folks, go out there and listen to this constitutional lawyer and figure out where is she coming from. So history, history, history. Lots we talked about, lots to talk about, and you know what we're going to talk about as soon as I get there. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, where America's voice is heard on iTunes.
Absolutely. Make sure you go there and you can download our shows. We have 4 years worth for you there. You can check that out. We can't thank John Schuford enough, and of course iTunes, for allowing us to be on a podcast
Awesome. You know what? Thank goodness, man. I don't make a living, predicting or playing in the college football ranks or the NFL.
Yeah, you're not wearing any shirts today, bro.
You know what? Look, it's a brutal year for me this year. I tell you, one of the toughest ones I've had as far as some of our donation cards out there. Yeah, I have to tell you, college football, the top five teams came out. Ohio State, TCU, Baylor, Michigan State, Sparty. You kind of fall down to number four. And then the big surpriser is Utah State has just surprised everybody. Of course, last week or 2 weeks ago, they went down into Oregon and beat those Oregon Ducks. Just
beat them down.
They pounded those Ducks. They roasted those Ducks. They cooked those Ducks. Yeah. And Eugene, what an impressive win for the Utah Utes. This week, they're at number five. The big game we talked about was Alabama and Georgia. And boy, I tell you what, Alabama did what we thought that they could do. We said they might do. Look, the SEC interconference play, LSU, SEC, Georgia. And then, of course, Georgia was punished big time. They fell all the way out of the top 10. Ole Miss was another one, man, that was kind of a surprise and big game. So, these college football games are exciting. And I like to watch these games more so than the NFL because these kids are playing. They're not out there with contracts and money deals. Well, I'm not going to hit. No hit above the waist. No hit, above the chin. These kids are out there playing their hearts out, and the fundamentals of the game are great to watch. And of course, I'm a true believer that the fundamentals that are taught in football sometimes, it's a great foundation for kids, because you learn to do your job. More importantly, you learn that if you don't do your job, then guess what? A group might fail. And how about Michigan, man? I gotta tell you,
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh. You know, I mean, good Lord, what was San Francisco thinking getting rid of that guy?
Oh, the ownership there. I have no idea what they're doing.
You know, it's just kind of frustrating sometimes because, you know, you see Jim Harbaugh go back to Michigan with a team that really did not have a lot of talent. And to see, I guess it is the old adage, the coach's program. You take a program, you take a plan. You really don't need the personnel. You just need people to execute the plan. And guess what? You can become successful. Great example happening out there in Michigan with Jim Harbaugh. I got to tell you, Raider fans, you got something to be excited about, Raider fans. You know what? I'm not a Raider hater, and I'm not a Niner hater. I'm a Cowboy fan, as we know. And I got to tell you, you know, oh, man, Brandon Wheaton. I mean, we can't ask more from a backup quarterback. What's going on, Big D? What's going on, Jason Garrett? Come on, get it together, defense. Sean Lee going out was a massive, massive blow coming into this week. So, you know what? I've got a lot of faith and hope, but, boy, it's starting to diminish quickly.
Well, mine is. My Niners, of course, are going to the Giants, and we've had some tough times. There, some tough sledding, and it's not going to be much better this week for us in the Big Apple in New York City.
Lots happening in the NFL and lots happening in college football this weekend, boy, I have to tell you. But as we were talking about in the first part of the show, a lot going on here in California. You know, we were praising California Governor Jerry Brown for doing something pretty significant. You know, last week we had an incredible guest on our show with Stan Statham. You know, what a great insight. You know, what an important a lot of information that he put out on our show, especially on the historical side of it. We were very, very happy to have him on. But, you know, even he mentioned, you know, Governor Jerry Brown's probable position on Proposition 13. And as we talked about on the first part of the show, look, when you do good, we got to tell you did good. More so than whenever we believe you do bad. I mean, we could find 70% every time to destroy people. All day long, America. All day long, California out there in politics. But, you know, Governor Jerry Brown has come out and said, no, he's going to oppose the modification of Proposition 13 when it comes to restructuring how commercial property out here in California is taxed.
Okay, I have a question for you, Andrew. Is that going to put that to sleep until the governor's race coming up and we get a new governor in place? Let's say they get another Democrat in there, you know, Gavin Newsom or whoever it might be. Are they going to awaken that again, once again, and try for Proposition 13 modification?
Well, you know what? Look, what it does this time, when the governor comes out in opposition of something or a proposition, an initiative, it makes it tougher for the initiative to raise money because, you know, the governor obviously is he's a spokesperson of the Democrat Party. And so when it comes to fundraising, if a governor doesn't get behind something, it becomes a little more difficult to raise those critical funds. And it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, that's just the way that works. So hopefully maybe some of those conservative Democrats and down in the legislature are understanding that. Business owners understand that. And let's face it, folks. I don't know too many business owners are going to want to self-impose that taxation on themselves.
Well, they would not want to. And maybe Governor Brown, you know, because, you know, he knows what's happening in our state. He knows he has been very fiscally conservative. He knows how much money that we need here and taxes to be collected in here. And if you're going to cut something like that, especially like a Holy Grail for 40 years we've had right here, and tax those people even more, it makes things more and more difficult than they already are.
It makes it more and more difficult. Okay, there's another bill that Jerry Brown just actually signed into law. And this one, I'm not really sure yet, folks. I'm going to be honest. But he's going to give the authority to the legislature, in particular, the Senate Rules Committee out here, the California State Senate Rules Committee, along with the Speaker of the Assembly of the state of California, the ability to make an appointment each to the California Air Resources Board. And, you know, one side of me thinks, you know, that could be a good thing if we could have such a long shot of actually getting control of the Senate and the legislature someday. And it might be a rally cry someday, maybe, hopefully, probably not. But, you know, I think the governor is actually signing this bill with the full understanding that, you know, the Democrats or belief that the Democrats will not lose control of those appointments on that California Air Resource Board, basically another version of CEQA, EPA out here, another, you know, overlapping enforcement agency in California that imposes restrictions on us all up and down California.
Well, Governor Brown, one of his talking points on a reelection campaign was the reformation of CEQA, something that really has not happened. Now he's wanting to allow those appointments. And I think he is looking ahead, like you said, Andrew, because it's going to be somebody with the same agenda that he has, because he is making the environment. He's charging forward on that. Everything he's doing right now with the signing of 1448, you know, where they can go out there and they can hang their clothes so they're not using their dryers and using electricity and oil and everything else. Everything he does has that bottom line, I think, Andrew.
Well, I think the governor has given up a little bit of his executive authority. And you know, it always kind of concerns me whenever any branch of government, whether it be at the state level or the federal level, begins to give up its authority, whether it be a unified body authority, a collective legislative body, a House body. That authority given up to another individual, which we've seen so many times in the United States Congress, is going to concern me. So this is a piece of legislation that is kind of going under the radar a little bit. Now, speaking of under the radar, let's talk about this U.S. Senate race out here in California. And something significant that's going on, folks, especially up here in Northeastern California, especially for red counties out here in the state of California. We have what is called, and we forget, and sometimes we do forget, we have open primaries now out here in California. And the open primaries apply not only to local, but state, but now federal. Look, right now in this U.S. Senate race, because of the way the Republican Party out here is in such disarray and we don't have really a candidate to champion behind.
Or direction.
We don't have, well, not just at the federal level. Sure. We're going to get into that in the next segment. But look, Kamala Harris, the California State Attorney General, is leading California by 30% right now. Loretta Sanchez, Congresswoman from Southern California, is at 17%. The closest candidate that we have is polling 9% on the Republican side with Rocky Chavez. Now, look, 30% of Californians are currently undecided. But the bottom line is Democrats lead the statewide by 16 points, something that Stan Statham pointed out. Look, it's a Democrat state. We could be, in the first time in our state's history up here in Northeastern California, we could be forced to actually choose between two Democrats for the state U.S. Senate race in California, if the Republican Party cannot get it together and actually put a viable candidate that Republicans can unite behind. So the John Perez theory that I spoke about years ago, about turning California blue, we're looking at, because of open primaries, we're not paying attention to the possibility that up here we're going to be battleground counties, not just for Republicans, but battleground counties for Democrats when it comes to our U.S. and state constitutional races.
Andrew, that's something that we haven't had before, and that's going to be taking place in the next election cycle. Critical the first time out, do you think that the Republicans get somebody, so it's at least one from each party, Andrew, out there in the primaries?
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, you know, we don't have anybody that's viable, okay, for the most part. And, you know, ultimately, I mean, I'm just going to say this right now. I'm reaching out to the Democrats. I mean, that's just all there is to it, folks. I'm reaching out to the Democrat Party. I'm talking to these candidates. Because eventually, we're just going to have, as we say, the proverbial, we're going to have to choose the lesser of two evils when it comes to supporting. So in the future up here, because of those open primaries, we are going to be faced possibly, you know, voting for a Democrat up here. And we mentioned it years ago, and we've been kind of like tracking this wolf also. Is it possible, folks, that up here in Northeastern California, we're going to be forced to vote for the first time as Republicans for a Democrat?
Wow, scary. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. 257-TALK, 1-866-882-1277. The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Okay, California, time for something you should know if you don't know. Once again, it's all about the history that we always bring up, man. I gotta tell you, the year is 1936. Ready? Hoover Dam begins transmitting electricity to Los Angeles. Wow. Here's something that's kind of surprising. 1947, you ready? The first telephone conversation between a moving car and an airplane occurred. Of course, 1990, Saddam Hussein threatens to hit Israel with new missiles. And then, you know, this one. Look, all you Americans out there who just really think it's so bad for women in this country. The year is 2012. Women's rights and education activist, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name. She shot three times by a Taliban gunman as she tried to board her school bus in the SWAT district of Northwest Pakistan. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, where America's voice is heard on iTunes.
And I believe that young lady won either a Nobel Peace Prize or she was nominated for that. She was only like 14 years old, and we couldn't even begin to pronounce her name, but how brave she was. And she's still has a hit out on her, and she has been out there voicing her opinions, and that is a historic day just back in 2012. I can't believe you didn't. I should have rinsed out your mouth with soap when you talked about we may have to choose a Democrat, we may have to vote for one here.
Hey, reality sucks that sometimes, you know, as we say, you know, truth sucks, reality sucks. But the bottom line out here in California is we do not have anybody as viable. I know two of the candidates, Duff Sondheim and anyways, those guys have got such a long shot, and I just don't know if we're going to be able to rally behind Rocky Chavez. No one knows who he is, you know, for the most part. But, you know, Loretta Sanchez and obviously Kamala Harris, they are moving up in the polls out here in California. That's going to be the mission. They're going to have a little peace treaty. And speaking of Loretta Sanchez, because Loretta Sanchez might have had a great opportunity I'm going to get into. Let's talk about this congressional turmoil that's happening amongst the Republican ranks right now with our lack of leadership and lack of, what's going on? Well, let me tell you what's going on, folks. You got this American Freedom Caucus, a.k.a. Libertarian Caucus, and I put a little thought into this, and I really thought I'd come in gun blazing against these guys and just really try to, you know, shoot them up, shoot them down, just destroy them. But, you know, the bottom line is this American Freedom Caucus is holding up the vote. Now, it's up to us as Americans to make that decision. These guys are the rhinos. These guys are the Republican in name only / libertarians that are hijacking it. Now, the question is do we like that or we do not like that? Kevin McCarthy obviously does not have the experience. And history shows this. This is what happened. Let me take you down a little road that happened up here. In particular, within our home district, we remember Congressman John Doolittle, don't we, folks?
Yes, we do.
There's a lot of our listeners up here remember who he was. In fact, I will go on the record saying that if not for Congressman John Doolittle, Herlong would not exist just outside of Susanville, located in between us and Reno, Nevada. That's how powerful he was. However, there was a lot of dissent whenever he ascended into the leadership under Tom DeLay. And so as a result, whenever Tom DeLay was investigated and then that FBI probe went into Congressman John Doolittle's offices in Washington, D.C., the Republican caucus out here, the Congressional Republican Caucus of California, you know, basically didn't back him. They forced him not to run again. And so as a result, we had, you know, the open seat, and we had the interloper versus OC. That would be the Tom McClintock, Doug OC race, which was just brutal between them. The carpetbagger interloper into district because McClintock did not live in the district and just relocated up here. Doug Osi did. And so as a result, we saw the later battle between, once again, McClintock and Osi when it came to running against Ami Barra down there. As a result, Ami Barra retained the seat. The Democrats retained the seat because of our internal turmoil. So locally, we have seen this. And so as a result, my question is going to be, who's going to lead? And to a point, there's a part of me that just wants to say, look, let them have it. Let them have it. Let them put that libertarian up there and let's see how far we get. Is it going to be a case where we're going to ignite the Democrats across the nation? Are the Democrats not only going to ignite at the presidential level, but at the House level and the U.S. Senate level as a result of what they're seeing as a takeover within the Republican Party?
The Republican Party right now is kind of laying down and they're almost giving it back to the Democrats in the next election. Nobody's wanting to step out. You know, Ryan, everybody's throwing his name out there and he's like, I don't want this. But Andy, we have a great opportunity to lead. and go out there. And it's going to be only while Obama is in office for the last 16 months or so. And if the Republicans get continue on with the Senate and the Assembly of the Congress, they'll continue to stay in power. But the looming federal shutdown coming up next month, is that just pushing everybody away because they do not want to go through that again? Approval numbers for Congress are at all-time lows. Why even throw my name in the hat? But why not throw your name in the hat to prove what a leader that you could be?
Well, let's talk about Paul Ryan real quick. I'm gonna call. I mean, look, he I'm gonna call him the John Kerry of the Republican Party. I mean, we were the only radio show in this nation that said when Mitt Romney chose Paul Ryan to be his vice presidential running mate that it was over. Yeah. So the American people on a national level have already rejected Paul Ryan. Why would we even think about considering him to lead the United States Congress when America across this nation, we have already said no to him? That's the John Kerry effect. That's why we're getting such a terrible deal in Iran. That's why nobody's listening to President Barack Obama right now, because of the American rejects that he's had within his administration, the individuals that America's already rejected as being a president in the nation. So that's what's going on. Now let's talk about this real quick. I mean, the part of me was like, man, what an opportunity maybe Kevin McCarthy had, you know, to actually make, I think the number is about seven when it comes down to the totality. He just needs seven to have legitimacy. I mean, I get it, the bantering, I get it, you know, I mean, look, and he doesn't want to create the war, but sometimes a war needs to happen within, and you create wars by leadership. And he had a great opportunity maybe to reach out to seven conservative California Democrat members out here in particular. I mean, he had John Garamendi, he had Amee Barra, he had Doris Matsui out of Sacramento, he had Louis Capps, he had Adam Schiff, and of course, the greatest play would have been Loretta Sanchez. What an opportunity for Loretta Sanchez to be able to say, look, elect me as your U.S. senator because I've already reached out and negotiated. I can work with the other side. We can get to yes. I mean, what an opportunity for Californians maybe to become more successful with making that deal with more conservative Democrats, not necessarily Nancy Pelosi, but the Democrats would have been in trouble. Those guys know they might have been in trouble with Nancy Pelosi, but eventually Nancy Pelosi is going to implode. Eventually Nancy Pelosi is going to, she's just going to go by the way eventually. So, I mean, the opportunity for Loretta Sanchez to have reached out to Kevin McCarthy or vice versa, Kevin McCarthy reaching out to his fellow California delegation in order to lay that libertarian group to rest was an opportunity, I think, that was missed. And as a result, guess what? This is just going to be brutally ugly for the Republicans across this nation.
Now, we have approximately a month before the debt ceiling, the federal shutdown. Do you think that we are going to see somebody thrown out there and elected to that leadership role? Is it going to come back to that? How does that work in that? Who's going to call that to the vote? Who's going to take it, you know, say, hey, we need to vote on this running the debt limit? Who's going to take charge?
I wish we could have gotten that Al Pacino scene in Godfather 3. Was just when I thought I was out, they brought me back in, because Boehner's not going to go nowhere at this point. He's going to have to take us through the end of the year unless they can get something together. But at the same time, I mean, look, who is going to be the new face that's got any credibility? Who are they going to put out there that America has not seen, you know, for the most part? I mean, who are these candidates that are running for this seat? Most of them are not going to be anybody that's going to be mainstream as far as confidence within the Republican Party. And they got a very short amount of time to whomever it's going to be to build that resume and put that resume and get that confidence out to the American people in the United States.
Can they vet somebody that quickly, Andrew, or have they already, do those 40 that are semi-controlling that, do they already have their person? I can't remember his name, but it was a young representative from Florida was thrown out there. I saw him a couple of times yesterday. Do they already have somebody that they would like to see, or are they just going to stand
Once again, you know, the credibility of the American people. The American people got to believe that these individuals are going to lead. I mean, good Lord, what's at stake right now? What's at stake is the Supreme Court nominations. What's at stake are federal appointments, you know, lower court appointments as far as that. I mean, you know, good Lord, I mean, if we lose this White House and if we lose this Congress, I mean, there's going to be a generation of man, disarray for this nation as a result of the stupidity of the Republicans in the United States Congress at this point in time.
We don't need to see that right now. Somebody is going to have to step up there in the next couple of days, and or weeks, and I'm really going to be excited to hear. It's going to be somebody you probably don't even know who they are, because Kevin McCarthy was the assistant, if you want to call that, to John Boehner. Ryan, of course, vice presidential, you know, candidate. He got rejected, like Andrew said. They've already got the rejects in place out there. So it's probably going to be somebody that we really don't know. They're going to have to get him out there and make him shine.
It's the same Jude Dillo effect. When Doolittle, when Tom DeLay was removed, you know, everybody that hated, you know, Tom DeLay went after Congressman John Doolittle. And as a result, we lost a very, very good congressman up here. You know, we've since replaced them with Congressman Doug LaMalfa. But at the same time, this is just political history that happens, you know, whenever, you know, somebody is not deemed as being experienced enough to take the leadership of the House. So, well, speaking of that, man, let's go on to Hillary real quick. I've just been looking at this. And by the way, kudos to Hillary Clinton. I've watched the Saturday Night Live. Oh, my goodness. Good. I love Saturday Night Live during the political season. And, boy, what they did to Donald Trump. I mean, I'm surprised. Is usually when Saturday Night Live does a hit like that, you know, usually a candidate's numbers kind of fall a little bit. But, boy, very entertaining. But I thought Hillary Clinton did a great job on Saturday Night Live as far as lightening up and being more personable. But here's something this. I just can't believe that – I got to use the word. I can't believe – Hillary Clinton was so stupid to use a private server that did not have security clearance and then had server backup companies that did not have national security clearance, you know, backing up that server. I don't know what she was thinking, you know, when it comes to this. And we mentioned it last week. I mean, she's starting to evolve Bill Clinton's "the word of definition is" to classified at the time. And so the spin on that is regardless of the legal verbiage, right now she is facing a federal investigation and 400 emails now recovered as being confidential, or should we say classified, you know, not necessarily top secret, but classified, is just, it's mind-boggling. So the big question that I want to hear on the Democrat debates now is, which candidate now is comfortable with Hillary Clinton maintaining control and securities to the codes for the nuclear football?
Andrew, my goodness. And how much longer, okay, is Vice President Biden? Is he going to – he just keeps on seeing her falling and falling. Is he just waiting? Is there a cutoff date for him, Andrew, out there?
Well, it's going to come quick. I mean, bottom line is we're looking at this hearing, and hopefully Trey Gowdy and the Republicans don't go all crazy with the Benghazi thing. But you know, ultimately, that is going to be the time frame. And should Hillary Clinton fall, I mean, obviously, it's going to be very quick. He'll get in. The infrastructure's already in place. And all they do, that's what Democrats are great at, because they're not going to bicker and fight. They're going to accept. So if Hillary Clinton falls out, they're going to, okay, we got Joe Biden now. And it'll be just an easy transition with the Democrat machine across this nation.
And we don't see that with the Republicans. We've been talking about that for 4 years. We don't do that. And right now we thought maybe that the Libertarians were kind of going by the wayside a little bit, but it looks like they've held the Congress right now maybe just a little bit hostage, like Andrew was saying.
Well, you know what, like, it's time to expose them and see what happens with that. Now, you know, on the national level, you know, American people, voters, and you know, we talk about the importance of voters. And we like to blame presidents. We like to blame individuals who are elected in office. And, you know, the thing that really, really gets me is this. You know, we the people are the ones who determine the direction of an executive. We the people elected Barack Obama to end the war in Iraq, to end the war in Afghanistan, for health care. We the people have done that. And so, you know, when the president accomplishes that, we the people make that determination. And what breaks my heart right now, it breaks my heart to say what I'm about to say. As a result of we the people changing our mind and tired of the conflict in Iraq, we the people have created the void that Vladimir V. Putin has entered into. And what breaks my heart is that as we the people have changed our minds, over 5,000 of our best, you know, unfortunately are going to go down in history as have dying in vain as a result of we the American people changing our mind when it comes to the direction we want this nation to go with the executive that we elect.
Don't like to hear not even one, but 5,000. That's just uncalled for. Andrew?
So that's what it's about, America. You know, elections have consequences. And, you know, whenever we change our mind and we put people in our government to change the mind for us, we have to think about that. And then when it does happen, we can't get all upset and try to blame the individual that we sent to do that for us.
What do you got for us, buddy?
Okay, time for our favorite book. It comes in the Ecclesiastes at 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, I always want to thank those men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beat in the state, performing the duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California and across this great nation, can be safe.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday after the news about 12:15 and 12:40 KSUE. About a half hour after the show, SierraDailyNews.com. You can catch that us there. And on the weekends, grab a cup of coffee. Saturdays at 7 on 12:40 KSUE and Sundays at 7:30 on 12:40 KSUE. And 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. You can catch our podcast as well. Have yourselves a great weekend, everybody.
Hello, America. Let me